I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
World, and welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome. Thank you for listening. Make sure to subscribe and give us some love wherever it is that you're listening to this right now. This is the show where I speak to fellow actors about their journey in this crazy industry, and they share with me some fantastic stories from their past, including some great audition stories. There's always a beautiful takeaway, and we always have fun. And thanks for listening. Today on the show, we have Emmy winner Sarah Brown. You know her best from General Hospital, Days of Our Lives, Cold Case, Bold and Beautiful, a bunch of other things. She was recently in the web series Studio City, and she's currently working on some really cool, exciting stuff that I am very, very, very excited to see/hear/you'll find out more when we get to that point later on in the conversation. So here is my conversation with Sarah Brown. Welcome to the show, Miss Sarah Brown.
Oh, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. I really appreciate you having me on.
I'm so excited to have you on. My mom growing up, well, she's still a big General Hospital fan, but growing up, I always saw General Hospital on the television. And so I feel like you've been a part of my life, my whole life, because I've seen you, I mean, all the time. You were a staple of the show in my childhood years.
Oh my goodness, that's so cute. I love it. And does your mom still watch General Hospital?
She does. She still watches General Hospital. It's that show that like my grandma watched, and it's just, I think my older sister still watches it too. It's like the family soap.
It's very generational. I think that's what keeps soaps strong and thriving, to be sure, is that The matriarchs of the family generally force the children when they're young to understand that everything else is going to shut down when the stories come on. And
it's true.
And it's really kept them going because you have a lot of fans that, like you, grew up with their parents watching or their grandparents watching. And as I understand, General Hospital is actually the longest running and the longest taping show in history right now.
Which is just—it's wild, right?
Yeah, the longest running
scripted series. It's crazy.
It's really amazing.
But that's kind of what makes soap so fun, though, right?
Yeah, it is.
It's like you've watched this entire family
grow up and get older, and you grow up and get older with them. Because most shows really don't do more than 6 years, unless it's an animation. So with soaps, you know, you just stay on the same channel, stay with your same characters, and you literally get to watch them grow up.
Yeah, it's what makes them special. But I mean, you've been on other soap operas and you've done a lot of other TV series and films and whatnot. But what was your calling to do this? Like, what made you want to be an actor? Because it's definitely a certain life path that not a lot of people choose. So what was it that made you want to do it?
That is a really good question. What made me want to be an actor? Huh. It's an interesting story. One sec. Okay. So I was in high school. I was in ninth grade and I needed an elective. And the elective that I was being offered that year that I'd never been offered before, couldn't take before, was actually to study acting. So that's how it started. Now, keep in mind, I've been an athlete my whole life and a dancer and all of those other things. So I was already interested in performing, but I was really more of an athlete and not a mathlete at all. But I think there was just this struggling artist inside of me from the time that I was a little girl, and it didn't have an outlet, let's say, until I went into the ninth grade. My teacher for this elective, Acting 101, gave me my first scene, and I went outside and memorized it with my scene partner, and something really strange happened. For the first time in my life, I understood that I could memorize all of the dialogue in a minute.
Wow.
Yes, just hearing it once, I recognized that I had some sort of a memory for this type of work that I couldn't access for anything else except song lyrics, which it also works for. But so I was like, oh, this is so cool, because going back inside after being outside learning the script, when we came back in to do the scene, I knew all the lines. I knew my lines, I knew her lines, I knew the whole script. So that allowed me to just have fun and play in a way that I think that a lot of actors struggle with, learning dialogue. And so I got the bug because I was immediately able to let go of the pages and just have fun on the stage for the first time. And people laughed and they liked it. So I got the bug. And then I went to my teacher after.
Yep.
And her name was C. Torini. I don't remember her first name actually, but she went by C. Torini. And I asked her, you know, is there any place where this is really taken seriously that I could actually study it? And she told me about the Los Angeles County High School for the Performing Arts, which is where my career started. I auditioned and I got in my first year, and the rest is history. Just, you know, the rest is my history, really. But I had a great experience at the school, and I really highly recommend it for anyone who's anywhere in the Los Angeles County area. We drove in, for example, 2 hours each way for more than a year.
Oh, my Lord.
And there are people who don't live with their parents that go there because they're international students. People come from all over the world to go to the school. It's really an incredible opportunity. So so I spent my high school years doing theater on the weekends for school because it was a professional school. And we were all just really training for the next opportunity in life constantly, nonstop.
It's good training for actors because, I mean, I feel like a lot of people don't talk about how as actors you need to continue your training and you need to continue, you know, some sort of exercise because it's a muscle that needs to be worked out constantly. And having that training in the beginning is huge, but also continuing it so that you don't ever get stalemate in your craft.
Correct. Yeah, I think that that's so important. That's such a good point that you brought up. A lot of actors really do start out studying and training and trying and working, and we're hungry. And then once you get that big role or that next big role and you work into a career, it's very difficult to have time to train. Yeah. It's really what I think. I think a lot of us that are constantly working, it's not that we don't recognize the need for it. It's more about time and making those choices.
But also when you're constantly working, you're working with new actors, different actors, and that kind of becomes your training ground.
It does.
Is because you're learning so much. And you can't like work with Denzel Washington without learning something from him because he's an incredible actor.
Most of us don't get that opportunity, unfortunately.
Yes.
So, which is why class is good, because you could be around actors of that caliber that you're working with, or you could be working with actors who aren't as studied as you are or are more new in their craft, and which doesn't mean that they're not going to be just as good, which is the great thing about acting. You know, you can jump into it at any age, at any time, and be just as good as somebody who has studied it or trained for it for 10,000 hours. So being sort of a virtuoso in acting, I think it's a little bit different. It's definitely a muscle. Gets better and better in terms of memorizing dialogue and learning dialogue, but you don't necessarily become a better actor just by working all the time, because there is that trap that you definitely fall into, as you said. You know, you make your choices and your priorities in life, and when you're already working, going to a class outside of work, the prioritization for that type of activity is pretty low. If you have a family and a million other things to do as well, because you're already earning a living. But if that stops for any reason, and I always recommend this, go back to class, because you will reinvigorate yourself undoubtedly if you trust your coach and you have a good coach. And that's what I've always done throughout my career. When I get sort of into a stalemate, I jump into a class and I let my teacher kick my butt a little bit, and it brings me right back to where I started, you know, being hungry and wanting it.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's also like needed, you know, having that person who's pushing you to be better. I think we all need that at some point in our lives, just to kind of wake our brains up a little bit and be like, hey, you need to focus, get back to what is driving you to do this.
Right. Exactly. Because you do see a lot of actors who've been on a show for 6 or 8 years that just sort of seemed to tune out. And I've been guilty of it myself. When I was pregnant with my daughter, I was working so hard. And when she was born, I think it was probably 2 years before I could fully focus on a script in the same way. It's not that I didn't have the same work ethic. It's that my drive was really more focused on the infant, you know, the baby.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. And I think your brain is a little bit scattered sometimes after you have a baby for a little while. It takes a minute to get back into work mode. And I went right back to work. So I think that was a time in my life where I recognized my work wasn't as good as it should be. And I had to have a conversation with myself, really.
Yeah. So let's go back. You went to high school at this amazing performing arts high school. And then did you go to college for acting as well? Or did you kind of just jump right into the LA scene?
Right. So I actually graduated from two arts high schools in Los Angeles. I graduated from Hamilton Academy of Music.
Okay.
And the Los Angeles County High School for the Arts.
Wow.
And to be honest with you, I wasn't really interested in that point in going on to a four-year university to study the craft of acting because I felt like we really immersed ourselves for years and we didn't have weekends as kids. You know, we were putting up tech for a show that was going to play. And so I just didn't have that drive for it. I felt like I got it in high school. I got that kind of education. A lot of my friends did go on to four-year universities like Juilliard and Yale and all of those. And I decided to enroll in community college and take 2 years at community college. I enrolled in political science and start auditioning, because my mom wouldn't let me audition until I was 18.
Oh, wow.
Not properly. So once I was 18 and I graduated high school, I enrolled in college on the third day of school, I believe it was. I got the lead in the show, which was Antigone.
Wow.
And it was Santa Monica College. And so I put that show up for 3 months. And during that 3 month period, I booked my first television series, which was VR Troopers. So I kind of, at that point, prioritized the work. The deal was my grandfather had said if I did the, you know, community college 2 years and I couldn't get any jobs as an actor, I would go to school to be a lawyer because I wanted to, and he was going to pay for it. And that was his business. And so, you know, I got that gig and the rest is history. I have gone back to college several times in my life at UCLA and various other institutions. However, something always comes up, a job, and I end up leaving before I even finish the credits, which is unfortunate. But
it's so funny. I have been the exact same way. I went to Santa Monica College for like a year and a half, got a job, dropped out, tried to go back, couldn't go back. And I'm finally back in school now for hysterical that you say political science.
Oh, yeah. And I don't know, you know, what possessed me at the time. I mean, my background, my history, my like deep-seated nature that seeks out information about human mm-hmm. rights. And really, I think that that would have been my specialty. I would have been a human rights lawyer or something along the lines of social justice.
Wow. That's pretty cool. In another life.
I miss my calling. Hey, I don't know. it's maybe a little bit late now to try to go back, but you never know.
Never know.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Yeah. So you do this first show, and then is it like, are you having constant auditions? How's the juggling process going? Are you like, you're still in the show at school, right? And then you're doing this other show?
No. So I left, we finished our show at, we finished Antigone. And during the time that I was doing Antigone, I was auditioning for VR Troopers. So I think I had two auditions, and it was several months went by between the first audition for VR Troopers and actually booking the job, which wasn't until February on my 19th birthday of that year. So I guess it was 2004, and I dropped out of school, but the play was done. So my commitment there was finished, and I had a really beautiful review. It was my first. I was so excited. I jumped into VR Troopers, did 92 episodes. I didn't audition for anything else during that time because there really wasn't time. It was a non-union show, and we did most of our own stunts, all of our own fight scenes, with the exception of really, really dangerous stunts and also having a stunt person. But we did work commonly 16 hours a day. So, and we did weekend work. We would do shows at Universal Studios, which we did, you know, 1 year, 30,000 people showing up for the weekend. So we really weren't free to do other auditions. I also wasn't SAG at the time because it was a non-union show. So it wasn't until VR Troopers ended that I gained my SAG card by doing extra work. And most new actors know that you can do three episodes of or three movies of any kind and get your SAG card. So I did that. I did some really pretty fun ones. I did Reality Bites with Ethan Hawke, who was, you know, my acting.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
It was my first one. You know, I'm the biggest Ethan Hawke fan ever in the history of the world. And I go to apply, you know, for extra casting to get my SAG card. And they asked me if I want to do an Ethan Hawke movie, my first go around. So that was amazing. And I ended up doing 2 weeks on that. And getting to meet Ethan Hawke and sitting next to him in a bar the whole time, being featured in the movie. And that was really a lot of fun. I met some great people, and he was super wonderful. And that was a good example of meeting your heroes and him turning out to be just lovely. Just a great person.
I love when that happens.
Yeah. And I mean, I was 18, 19. I mean, I think I'm 19. I'm not even 19 yet. I'm 18 years old. So, you know, it could have gone a lot of different ways. We were doing bar scenes and everything was lovely. Ben Stiller was fantastic. I got to work with Ben Stiller as a director and have him actually speak to me, you know, as an extra. Incredible experience that way. I got to work with William Friedkin, as everybody would know from The Exorcist, in a movie he did called Blue Chips with Shaq. That was really fun. And so I got just really great extra work. I loved it. But it was strange to have been the lead of a television series and then to go on and do extra work.
Yeah.
You have to just be very humble, and, you know, you just stand around in the background. There's a bunch of other people. And so that was interesting and fun. And
but it must have been interesting to be able to be around such powerhouses and kind of learn and just watch.
Right. And just watch. And that was, you know, it was an incredible experience for me. I could not have asked for something better. I threw my hat into the extra bin, and I ended up working with two actors I just adored, as well as, you know, Jean Triplehorn, who was incredible, and Janine Garofalo, who I also adore. And I know she's a huge hospital fan. Yeah. So from there, I ended up doing a couple episodes of Power Rangers and then getting a movie through the company Saban up in Canada. So with Andrew McCarthy, so I jumped on a plane. I flew up there sight unseen. I didn't have a look at the script before I got there. And I was told the role was written for me. And I got off the plane and I had no lines in the role in the movie. But I was going to be in Canada for about 3 months. It was very strange. I had no lines, not one. I eventually was given a line by the director. But I had to stay up there for several months.
Oh my God.
I'd never really been away from my mom, you know, so it was an interesting time. And I was playing a bank robber, but I was just part of the crew. You know, I just was part of the crew. I didn't have any lines whatsoever. And so during that time, I got this audition for General Hospital. And because I didn't have a lot on my plate, I was mostly just sitting around in Canada. I had all the time in the world to focus on the audition. I think I had 2 weeks to work on it because I was out of the country.
Wow.
So, you know, never happens. You never get a role where you have nothing else that you're doing, that you're completely free. I was in another country, so all the distractions were kind of shut down. And I had this good couple of weeks to work on the role. So because I had to fly in for it. When I did fly in, I met with Mark Teschner, and he really liked it and ran out of the office, grabbed Wendy Rich, who was our executive producer, said, "You need to come see this girl right now." And I almost didn't get a shot because I was out of the country and they had seen a lot of people already, but they didn't find their girl. So Wendy saw me, and right away they said, "Great, we want you to test." And so I got the invitation to actually audition with Steve Burton and the five other girls that were up for the role, that were really being considered for the role. So I flew back and forth from Canada the whole time.
Wow.
It was very stressful. And you know, I had a good day, I have to say. That was a really one of my best auditions I've ever done. I'm not good at auditioning. I'm really good at working with an actor. So it's a very different thing for me. I'm dyslexic, and the not being good at auditions really plays into the fact that I'm dyslexic. And I don't know how many other dyslexic actors are listening, but I'm sure you can identify with the right brain, left brain function. I'm a super creative person. So even if I'm doing a math problem, I'm doing it from a creative side of my brain rather than the logical side. And so when I get into acting with a script, just having the page in my hand and those words on the page just throws my brain into school mode, and my creativity shuts down. So I really have to memorize everything and be off book to do my best. And casting directors don't love that, and directors don't love that. They want to see the script in your hand because it makes them think that you're not there yet. But there's just some function happens just from holding the script. It puts me into radio voice, you know, and it's my brain. So, you know, anyway, that's how that all came about. And then the rest is history with General Hospital. I ended up staying, I think, 5 years and doing Carly and having a bang up time.
And winning 3 Emmys.
A lot of, greatest time in my life. I could not have anticipated all of that really fun stuff in my 20s. It was awesome.
That's so cool. What do you think has been your favorite role that you've been able to bring to life? Not just like, you know, the show or the film or whatever it was, but like for you personally, where you got to have the most fun creating a character.
One of the roles I loved the most, really, and I don't know how many people have seen this or not because the show is not around anymore, and I think it only did 2 seasons. It was called L.A. Dragnet with Eva Longoria, and Ed O'Neill, and Desmond Harrington, as well as a couple of other actors, but these are people that I actually knew. So I loved that. That was a Dick Wolf production, and it was
so cool.
The most challenging guest starring role that I've ever done. But guest starring role or not, it was a huge, fun, challenging, incredibly well-written character who had 5 different colors, and every scene you saw her with a different color. And I don't mean hair, just everything about the character. And she was ultimately a serial killer. So it was I worked with Zachary Quinto for the first time, and he actually played my victim. And he loses his mind in it. He's just fantastic. I remember seeing the episode and going, "Who is that? Oh, he is. Wow. Oh, wow." I didn't get to work with him. Our characters were constantly talking about each other. He was the guy I set up. Basically, but he was already in prison. So my character didn't talk to him, but I just, I got to play a dominatrix. I got to play, you name it. I played it, just the girl next door, the innocent, the murderer, the psychopath, and everything in between in one episode. So that was really, really a lot of fun. I loved it. A great time.
I have got to find this episode.
Oh, you've got to. It's really fun. And again, you know, it's Dragnet, so it's probably on Hulu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Well, on this show, we like to share audition stories that have gone awry, or funny things have happened, or ones that you really wanted that you didn't get. Is there an audition story that you would like to share with the listeners?
Yes, so I have a funny one for you. So this is years ago, and I was auditioning for a show that John Stamos was going to be playing the lead in. And I had never met John, but I knew my friend Ken Schreiner knew John Stamos pretty well. They were good friends. And Ken and I had worked on General Hospital together. So I think I reached out to Ken at some point and said, hey, I know you know Stamos, put in a good word for me, as we commonly do. And I loved this character. I loved this part. I was so ready to do this. I was so excited that the network wanted me and that the studio was offering me a test. And on the day of you have these network tests and studio tests. So basically a network and a studio own the property, and they both want you to audition for them specifically. But at that point, they usually bring in the lead actor for you to read off of. And you have generally 20 people from the studio or so watching, and or 20 people from the network watching. And so it's very nerve-wracking type of audition process. It's if you screw it up, you're potentially not working for that network or studio ever again, or at least for a while. So it's very nerve-wracking, and it's an incredible feeling when you get that opportunity. So during pilot season, I had this opportunity with a character that it was just knock it out of the park. And of course it was raining that day as I prepared. I think I might've even had my makeup artist come and do my face and everything, because I'm terrible at doing my own makeup. Wow. And as I left the house, of course, it's pouring rain. So I've got the umbrella and I'm following the directions and I'm going to my place. And as I get there, you know, one thing after the other, until I finally recognize that I'm not at the right place. So I get on the phone with the agent, and I'm talking about walking in the rain and then realizing that the people at the front desk didn't realize you were in the wrong place. So they've sent you on some wild goose chase through the studio, and I'm not at the right location. And the studio test is now starting, and I'm not at the right location. So I'm freaking out. All the other women are there. They start without me. And by the time I finally make it to the right location, which is the, ABC network at Disney, I think is where the test was, or no, it was at Warner Brothers. I forget now, but my agents had given me the completely wrong address. And as I got there like a soaking wet rat, just in time to watch Melissa George leave the room, who had just killed the audition. And I went in and did my thing, but you know, really shaken because I'm soaking wet. And I mean, I look not the way I did when I left the house. It was heartbreaking, and I still had a good audition. It was still funny. It was probably a little more bitter than it should have been because I was so upset that I was soaking wet, you know, and angry, I think, just about the way that, you know, things got messed up. And as I left, one of the executive producers said to me, "What happened?" And we were all walking out. And I said, "My agents gave me the address for the network, not the studio." And he looked at me and he goes, "When people make mistakes like that around me, I fire them."
Yep.
"Have a good day." And he left. And I didn't fire my agents. But a couple of years later, they fired me. I thought that was a good story because, you know, that the business is crazy and people make mistakes and, you know, things happen. But that potentially will cost you the biggest job of your life.
Yeah.
And it was just a mistake that an assistant made, you know. And you know, and loyalty in the business is sort of on display in that story. And so that's kind of the reason why I tell it is multifold. I thought, well, I'm not going to, you know, betray the loyalty of an agency that or a management that's been with me all these years, even though they could just cost me potentially millions and millions of dollars worth of a job.
Yeah.
And possibly, you know, never having these executive producers ever want to see me again. But they'll turn around and do it to you, you know, if you don't show up or you show up late or something else. It's tough. It's tough enough to get to that point, and it's tough enough to do well in the audition without having all of the other minutiae that can go wrong. Your car can break down, or the agent gives you the wrong address. Yes. So now I just recommend to young actors, always double check. If it's something that important, just double and triple check. Get them on the phone before and make sure you're going to the right place, because there's no place for that kind of a mistake. And ultimately, it reflects on you.
Whew. Yeah, it does. Oh my gosh, that's...
So that was
terrifying. That is like my worst nightmare.
Yeah. And Melissa George got the part with Stamos, and I forget what the show was called. It was not, it was short lived, but it was, it did make it to air, and it was a really good show. It was cute.
Wow. That, yeah, that would, I'm shocked that you didn't fire them. Like I think I would have been so angry that you, I wouldn't have been able to hold it in.
It's just, you know, it's a mistake, and it's the assistant who made the mistake, not the management.
Which is so rough, you too. Them,
you know, how do you really hold somebody responsible for that? How about Pushing Daisies, which was an incredible show with Kirsten Chenoweth? Kirsten Chenoweth? I didn't get it. I mean, I didn't get it. When I read it, I didn't get it. I was like, I'm sorry, the pie maker is going to the fair? It ends up being one of my favorite shows of all time.
It was a great show.
I loved that show. But when I read the script, I just didn't understand the voice of the show or the tone at all. And so that was another funny one. I watched the show and I thought, oh my God, did I really just pass that? What is wrong with me? But, it, you know, sometimes that's better too. If you don't know what you're doing, don't pretend that you do necessarily.
True. Not,
you know, maybe do more research or find out who the creator is and what his style is. And that probably would have helped. But yeah, I passed because I just didn't get it. Really stupid.
Oh my gosh. Well, that was a fantastic story. And I'm very happy that you shared it with me. And hopefully the actors listening to this have learned a lesson or two. Thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been a fantastic time talking to you. Where can people follow you on social media to keep up with all of your projects?
Certainly. So my latest project actually is directing.
Yay!
And I am directing 10 episodes of an audio-only drama.
Nice.
And we're in casting right now. And so if you want to audition for this even, we haven't hit the breakdowns. Or I think our project is going to be launching all of the roles on breakdowns today.
Wow.
So I don't know when this will air or not, but we are searching for tons of voiceover talent, tons of it. And our show is kind of in line with Rami Malek has one called Blackout, if anybody has seen or listened to that.
So
we're
good.
We're sort of similar in tone and in terms of music, sound, you know, back-to-back music and fun and all of that. And I would say maybe The Handmaid's Tale, a little thrown in there. It's really kind of an homage to Kill Bill in a lot of ways, but there isn't an action podcast quite like that. So there isn't one quite like what we're doing. I'm really excited about it. I hope to bring in some of the actors from General Hospital. So I've talked to a couple of people. I'll let you know more as that goes forward. But if you want to hear about it, I'm at Sarah Joy Brown on Twitter. And on Facebook and Instagram, I'm at iSarahJoyBrown. Like iPhone, little I.
Perfect. Well, I can't wait to hear more about the podcast. And thank you so, so much for coming on the show today. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
You as well. And thank you. I really do appreciate it. And good luck with everything. I'll talk with you soon.
Thanks again to Sarah Brown for coming on the show and spending some time with me. I am very excited to listen to this podcast that she's directing. I think it's going to be really cool and really interesting. And I just love fiction podcasts. They really do get me through my workday. So very excited for that. Tune in next week for my conversation with the fantastic Diane Brown. And until then, make sure you're following us on social media. Those links are in the show notes. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your stuffed animal about the show. And as always, thanks for coming in.
Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep, with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode, so search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over a million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my two wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I'm hoping to open up the conversation about balancing careers and family. The one thing I constantly hear successful people say, without fail, is that they wish they'd spent more time with their kids. That's time no one can get back. So I decided to create Business Dad, to engage in the conversation about how we're spending our time now, providing a forum for successful dads to share their joys and challenges of being a working parent. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier. And while this podcast will talk about business and will definitely be featuring dads, I think everyone can learn something from these incredible conversations as we unpack the expectations we all have about careers, relationships, and ourselves. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.